Would you turn with me back to Matthew chapter 8? In reading the scripture, I always want to read the Bible without looking for a message. Whenever I'm looking for a sermon, it dries up to me. And I always want to read the Bible simply reading it, seeing what the Lord says. And when a passage moves me in a powerful way, I know that I want to preach on that. And this passage certainly moved me reading it. And I pray that the Lord is in this. I believe this is what the Lord would have me preach. I've entitled this message, How Should I Come to Christ? Could there be a more important subject? How should I come to Christ? Now notice what I didn't entitle this. I didn't entitle this, May I Come to Christ? Yes, you may, if you're willing. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I didn't entitle this message, How Can I Come to Christ? That's answered in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. But I've entitled this message, How Should I Come to Christ? Now, before we look at Matthew chapter 8, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6 for just a moment. Hold your finger there in Matthew 8. We'll come back there and turn to John chapter 6. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The Father gave Christ a people, and he gave him these people before time began to be his bride. They are the elect. Those the Father gave to Christ. And the Lord Jesus took full responsibility for the salvation of these people before time began. I love to think of that. My Redeemer, my Lord, my Savior, taking full responsibility for me before the sun ever shined, before the world was made. Election. Let me tell you a couple of things about election. Election is nothing less than God being God. I like saying that. He's in such complete control that he controls who will be saved. Got any problems with that? If you do, you got problems. I love election because it says God is God indeed. He's in absolute control of all things. And it tells me that salvation really is by grace. You can't believe in grace and not believe in election. It's impossible. If you believe grace, you believe election. If you don't believe election, if you don't believe God chose who would be saved before time began, you don't believe in grace. You believe in salvation by works. That's just so. That's just so. Thank God for election. Election is the sinner's friend. It opens up the door of grace and mercy. If God didn't elect the people, no one would be saved. Thank God. I love the way the Lord says all that the Father gives me, here's what they'll do. They shall come to me. And the reason they come, now the Lord made this promise, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The reason they come is, first of all, because they were elected. That's why they come. God chose them to this. They come because they're drawn by the Father. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says in the same chapter in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. If you come to Christ, you've been drawn by the Father to come to Christ. And those who come, they have no place else to go. It's not like you choose to come to Christ. You come to Christ really because you have no other options and you have nowhere else to go. That's why you come to Christ. Now, and look at this promise our Lord gives in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This is His promise. Those who come will not for any reason be cast away. You come, you will be received. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the big question is, how should I come to Christ? Now, if God's made me willing, I can come. If God draws me, I can come. How should I come to Christ? And the best way to answer that is to look in the Bible at someone who actually came to Christ and see how they came and they were received. And I want to come like they do. And so this passage of Scripture just touched me so much, reading the way this leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was received. Back to our text in Matthew chapter 8. Now I repeat, we could not consider a more important subject than how should I come to Christ. And it's my prayer that this morning, this very morning, everybody sitting in this room will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a blessing of God's grace if you and I, if I am enabled, if you are enabled by the grace of God to actually come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find mercy and grace and acceptance for His sake? Now we read in this passage of a man who did in fact come to Christ. Look in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper. Behold, there came a leper. Mark's account says there came a leper to him. So we see for sure this is a man who came to Christ. Bible says he did. The leper came to him. Now here's the first thing I want to point out about this leper. This man was in a desperate condition. What he was doing was against the law. He had no right to do this. You see, he was supposed to be banished to the leper colony. And he shouldn't be coming around healthy people where he could spread his disease. He was commanded to stay away, but this man knew this. If he didn't come, he would die. This is the only thing he had to do. If he didn't come, he would most surely die. Perhaps if he comes, he'll find mercy. So he comes. He comes knowing he had no right. He didn't come with a sense of entitlement. He came knowing he's a lawbreaker. He came knowing the only hope he had was if the Lord would do something for him. That's the way he came. Now Luke's account tells us he was full of leprosy. Completely covered with these ulcers. Perhaps his extremities would begin to rot away. But he was completely covered. There was not one square inch of healthy flesh on this man. He came full. full of leprosy. And you know, the Bible devotes a lot of time to the disease of leprosy because it's the great type of sin. The leper was loathsome in his person. And this is what the law says. He was to stay away from everybody and keep a rag over his mouth and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" He was loathsome in his person. He wasn't allowed to worship. There was no sacrifice for him as long as he was still in a leprous state. He wasn't allowed to partake in the worship of God. He wasn't allowed to touch anything. If something he touched something, it had to be burned. It was unclean. Anything he came into contact with was unclean. He was altogether shut out from society, quarantined, unless he was declared clean by the priest. Now, this pictures you and I by nature. You believe that about yourself? Well, whether you do or not, it's still so. This is me and you by nature, just like this leper. And the clearest picture I reckon we have of the filthiness and the vileness of sin, and I wish I knew how to say this the way it ought to be said, but look in Gethsemane's garden. When Christ began to bore our sin, and He sweat great drops of blood. He knew the filthiness and the vileness of sin against His Father. He was under such stress and such pressure that He actually sweat blood as He was made the sinner's substitute. Now, you and I don't really understand how bad our sin is. I can talk about it. And even when I'm told, you know, when I talk about a subject like this, it always makes me feel bad because I know I don't really know what I'm talking about. I can tell the truth, but I know the closest you and I will ever see the filthiness of sin is looking what Christ had to go through to put it away. Like the leper full of leprosy, you and I are full of sin. And here's the fact, we won't come to Christ until we're full of sin. Turn with me for a moment to Leviticus chapter 13. Now, when I'm full of sin, I have no other options. The only hope I have is that Christ will have mercy on me. And I'll come to Him when I'm full of sin. Now look in Leviticus chapter 13. The chapters 13 and 14 are devoted to the disease of leprosy. Look at this, verse 12. "And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean." Not altogether filthy, but clean. If the leprosy covers all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It's all turned white, he's clean, but when raw flesh appeareth in him. And that word raw simply means living. Living. Leprous or non-leprous flesh. Flesh that is healthy. Flesh that is living. Flesh that is good. When the raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean. For the raw flesh is unclean. It's leprosy. Now, here's the point. Now, think of the picture. You come to the priest full of leprosy with not one square inch of healthy flesh. You're pronounced clean. If you come with any healthy flesh, back to the leper colony, unclean. Now this leper came to Christ full of leprosy. If you come to Christ with any righteousness, with any merits, you will be pronounced unclean Back to the leper colony. If you come with nothing but leprosy, from the sole of your feet to the top of your head and everywhere else, now you're a candidate for mercy. You come to Christ like that. Now, in coming to Christ, the first thing this fellow did, and this is what must be settled first, is worship. Worship. Look in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, there came a leper. And we know from Mark's account that he was full of leprosy. And here's what is going to be settled first. Remember, this is how should I come to Christ. Here's what's going to be settled first. He came and he worshiped. He worshiped the Lord for who he was. Now, his body had not yet been cleansed or healed, and he didn't know at this time whether it would be. But he came and he worshiped. The word worship means to bow down and lick, like a dog licking his master's hand. This man came and bowed down. Luke's account says he fell on his face. As soon as he saw him, as soon as he perceived who he was. Now, one thing I can tell you about this leper, he knew who the Lord was. And as soon as he saw him, he hit the dirt, he fell down, and he worshiped. Now, here's the point I want to make. I want to make this point every time I preach. The Lord should be worshiped without reference to what he does or doesn't do for me. He is worthy of worship because of who he is. If he passes me by, if he doesn't have mercy on me, if he sends me to hell, he's still worthy of worship. He's the Lord. Now, this is the issue that's going to be settled before anything else. Is he worthy of divine worship because of who he is? And this is where we must begin. If you come to Christ, here's what you're going to do first. You're going to worship him for who he is, without reference to what he does or does not do for you. He is to be worshiped. Now, there's no arguments before his throne. There's no bargaining. There's no sense of entitlement. Only worship. I'm in his hand, and he can do with me whatever he's pleased to do. Amen. You believe that if you believe who he is. He is to be worshiped for who he is, whether he grants my request or not. So I see, how should I come to Christ? Well, I come full of sin. I won't come any other way, full of leprosy. And I come worshiping him as God. You know, the only person you really worship is God. You don't worship anybody else, but you worship God. You fall down at his feet, at his, and whatever he does is right. That, you worship God. Now, anything else, you won't really worship. But God is to be worshiped, and Jesus Christ is God and is worshiped as God. Next thing I would notice about this fellow, verse 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, there's some words in worship. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's something you'll say, there's something you'll understand when he worshipped him, saying, Lord, 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 if you will, you can make me clean. Now, if somebody ever comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, well, first worship is settled, And these two go hand in hand. There's a genuine acknowledgement from the heart of His Lordship. He's the Lord. He's the dictator. He's the one who's in control. He really is the Lord. You know, I've heard of and read of the Lordship controversy. People say, talk about the Lordship controversy. Well, I know this, it's no controversy with a believer. He's the Lord. He's my Lord. He's your Lord, whether you know it or not. Did you know that? He's your Lord, whether you know it or not. You're in His hands. He's the Lord of creation. He's the creator of the universe. I love thinking about that. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord of providence. That means everything that happens in time, no exceptions to this, everything that happens in time is His will being done. He's Lord of providence. He upholds all things by the word of His power, and by Him all things consist. He's in absolute control of everything. Everything that happened to you yesterday was His will being done for His glory. Everything that will happen to you today is His will being done. Everything that will happen to you tomorrow is His will being done. Are you saying He's the author of sin? No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying He's the Lord. I am saying that, and I'm saying He's in control of everything that takes place. And I wouldn't want it to be any other way, would you? He's the Lord. This man came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, Lord. I love to think of the thief on the cross. You know, the Lord said regarding Himself, as the Father raises the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom He will, because He's the Lord. I love thinking about the thief on the cross. He was nailed to that cross as an unbeliever. He had no love for Christ, no belief in Him. He was cursing Christ just the way his buddy was. When he was first nailed to that cross, it was in unbelief. But he heard something while he was up there. He heard the words of the Lord, and a mysterious change took place in this man's heart and mind. He was given a new heart is what it was. He heard the gospel and he was given a new heart. And while his fellow malefactor continued to curse Christ, he said, don't you fear God? Seeing you're in the same condemnation. And I have no doubt that he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as God. Don't you fear God? Seeing you're in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. He believed in the absolute sinlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he looked at Christ. And you think about this, Christ was nailed to a cross. He seemed so helpless, everybody making fun of him. He seemed like he was all by himself. And he looked at that one hanging on a cross and said, Lord, Lord, You're the Lord. You're not going to stay on this cross. You're going to come back as a mighty reigning king in Your kingdom. Whatever You do must be successful. Lord, remember me when You come in Your kingdom. Now there's a man who understood that Jesus Christ is Lord. This man understood this, this leper. He came full of leprosy. He came worshiping Him for who He was. And he came acknowledging His Lordship, Lord, Lord. Look what he says next in verse 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Now this man came acknowledging the supremacy of the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not sure whether or not the Lord was willing at this time, but he knew that it was up to the will of the Lord as to whether he would be clean. How should I come to Christ? Understanding it's completely up to His will as to whether or not I'll be made clean. Lord, if you will. Can you imagine this man coming up to the Lord and saying, Lord, I will that you make me clean? Such daring presumption and insolence. No, that's not going to happen. Not somebody knows who he is. He would never come up and say, Lord, I will that you make me clean. No, Lord, if you will. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, I realize that for centuries, the whole religious world has argued over free will, man's will, whosoever will, and God's will. And you can argue and debate if you want, but I know whose will is going to be done. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? His will is supreme. And my salvation is completely dependent upon his will. Now, if you believe in free will, quite frankly, you've never seen the Lord. You've never bowed the knee to him. You think your will can trump his will. You know, a God whose will can be trumped isn't much of a God. It's a weak God. It's a pygmy God. It's a God that can't save anybody. I wouldn't give you a plugged wooden nickel for that kind of God. Oh, but the God who is in absolute control. Lord, if you will. Now, if we approach the Master to obtain mercy, the prayer of our heart and lips must be, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If I ever come to Christ, I will, like the leper, acknowledge his ability. Lord, he came and worshipped him. How should I come to Christ? Worship. He came acknowledging his lordship. Lord, he acknowledged the supremacy of his will, if you will. And he acknowledged his ability. Now, this is the very heart and soul of the gospel, the ability of Jesus Christ to save. If you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. I love the question the Lord asked those lepers who came to him in Matthew chapter 9. He said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe in the ability of Jesus Christ the Lord to save you? Do you believe he can do it without any help from you? That's what the leper understood. If you will, you can make me clean. You see, the Lord Jesus is omnipotent. That means he's all powerful. That means whatever he wants to do, he has the power to do. That's who he is. We believe his ability. What do you believe? I believe he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. I believe in his ability. I believe in his ability in this, to this extent. He has the ability to make me, with no help, with no contribution from me, without my works, he has the ability to make my sins to be no more. He has the ability to make me perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. He has the ability to make me stand before God in judgment without guilt, totally clean. Perfect and holy, just and righteous. That's the ability he has because he's God, because he's all powerful. Oh, I believe in his ability to make me clean. Now, we truly acknowledge, you know, if you'd ask almost anybody in any church in Lexington or anywhere else, do you believe in his ability to save you? They'd say, oh, sure, I believe he's able. Well, let me put you to the test. Hebrews 1:3 says, when he had by himself, without any contribution from you, without any work from you, without anything you've done, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He sat down. The work was finished. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. Now, you really believe in His ability when you really believe that your salvation has absolutely nothing to do with anything you've done and that He did it by Himself. Believe that? That's believing His ability. Now look next in verse 2. Remember, how should I come to Christ? Well, I'm to come the same way this leper came if I ever come. And behold, there came a leper, full of leprosy, on his face, and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. This leper came for the right thing. Lord, if You will, You can make me rich. What good would that do? What would profit a man if he'd gain the whole world and lose his soul? Lord, if You will, You can make me healthy. You know, I'm thankful for health, but I'm going to die sometime. You are too. I'm thankful for health. I'm also thankful for sickness. Any sickness the Lord brings my way that brings me to Him and shows me my need of Him. He wasn't really just praying for physical health. He was asking to be made clean. I'm filthy. I need to be made clean. That's what I need. I need to be clean before God. I don't need to be healthy. I don't need to be wealthy. But I need to be clean. I need to be without sin before God. Perfectly pure. Clean before God. Oh Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. That's what I need. I need to be made clean. I can't make myself clean. I can't do anything to make myself clean. I'm totally dependent upon You to make me clean. I'm in Your sovereign hand. Oh, if You will, You can make me clean. Now that is the way a sinner approaches the Savior. If you and I ever come to Christ, that is precisely how we will come. Now, here's something else that's glorious. Everybody who comes that way, without any exceptions, everybody who comes that way, look at verse 3, and Jesus put forth His hand and touched him. Now both Mark and Luke's account says Jesus moved with compassion. You come to Christ like that. I come to Christ like that. And He is moved with compassion. His compassion for sinners, His love, His acceptance of sinners. And He reached forth His hand and touched him. Now one thing's dead sure. If a leper comes up to me, I'm not touching him. I don't want to be contacted by him to catch his leprosy. I always appreciate it when going out the door. Somebody says you're cold. Says, I'm going to shake your hand. I don't want to catch your, you know, I don't want your, that's nice. But that your cold won't kill me, but leprosy would. I doubt that this man had been touched for many years. But the Lord reached forth His hand and touched him. And that touch signifies something. Look in this same chapter. Verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, He saw his wife's mother laid and sick with a fever, And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. It went somewhere, didn't it? It left her. And she arose, administered unto them, and when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, our sin was imputed to him. But this is not simply a legal transaction. You don't have sicknesses imputed to you. You don't bear imputed sicknesses. He actually took them in his own body. When he touched that leper, that leprosy became his, because he bare our sickness, infirmities, and sins in his own body. That leper sickness became his, and his perfect cleanness came to the leper. That's the gospel, my friends. That's the gospel. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And how quick was his leprosy cleansed? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed because of the will of Christ, because he touched him. Verse 4, you know what the Lord did? He sent him to the law at this time for the law to see he's perfect. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now that's what the law required. And you know, when the Lord touches me and makes me clean, I can go to his holy law and say, here I am. And the law says, perfect. I find no fault in him. Now that's the gospel. And that is how a sinner should come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I come full of leprosy, full of sin. May the Lord deliver us from ever coming any other way, because any other way is a lie. I come full of leprosy, and I come worshiping him. He's to be worshiped for who he is. He's God. He's the God-man. He's the only Savior of sinners. He's the sovereign of the universe. We worship him for who he is. Lord, he's the Lord. We acknowledge the supremacy of his sovereign will. If you will, we acknowledge his ability. You can. We come for the right thing. Make me clean. And everybody who comes that way hears these words. I will be thou clean. And immediately that leprosy is cleansed. Let's pray together. Lord, we come full of sin, acknowledging that. And Lord, we come worshiping you for who you are. Lord, we acknowledge and love the Lordship of your Son. Lord, we acknowledge your sovereign will, if you will. Lord, we acknowledge your ability. If you will, you can. You're able. And Lord, we ask for this, that we might be made clean. May we hear Your word, I will be Thou clean. Lord, take this word and bless it for Your glory and for our good. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to have a baptism now. Mark Medley is going to confess Christ in believer's baptism, and we rejoice with you, Mark. And Dwayne, you're going to lead us in a song while we get ready for that. What page?
One 117.